This is Tootie the Forgotten. This is what? Your...
Why do you, like, do, like, this deep and British accent for me when, if anything, it should be, like, more like a redneck accent for me?
This is Tony from Porter. Hi, this is your Technology Rocks crew in full effect, and it is officially Wednesday. Don't know how we made it past Tuesday, but...
Hump day!
It is hump day. Lots of things happening, T-Bone. We got the FBI chasing P. Diddy.
Yeah, he's more than the inventor of the remix
and
now.
And we've got Nickelodeon on blast for all kinds of crazy things. And yeah, man, it's just kind of a wild and crazy thing going on, man. Wow, yeah. So... I think we're going to just jump right into the topic here. Actually, well, we have to. How was your weekend, brother?
It was pretty good.
Besides, if you consider
you know, going to get your car inspected and them telling you, oh, hey, you know, all your tires are good except for one. And then you go to the tire shop and they go, oh, well, you know, you drive a four-wheel drive car, so you got to replace not just two but four tires.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, no, it's
so beyond that, it was all right,
decent. Yeah, yeah. No new movies, nothing like that.
Nah, I just watched some old school stuff.
Gotcha. All right, okay.
I was gonna watch Poor Things, but by the time my son went to bed, it was too late to watch that movie.
Oh, got it. What's Poor Things?
That's the new Emma Stone movie where, like, through, like,
is it 80% out already?
Oh, yeah. It's on Hulu.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was still
in the theaters, too. Yes.
Oh, so yeah, it was that bad of a movie then.
Well, I mean, it really, that is neither here nor there. And,
that is neither here nor there when it comes to...
It doesn't matter. Now that we're into the world that is streaming, it doesn't matter if something's out of the theater or not anymore, because things are going to streaming faster than they leave the theaters.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. So, interesting thing. Michael, what was his name? Michael the YouTube dude. Hang on, let me just look at it. His name is not Michael the YouTube dude. His name is Michael Hi-Fi Audio Adventures. So I stumbled on this video of this guy, and he had, it's actually a really good video. It's the name of the video if you're interested, and it's called Hi-Fi Theft, and it's talking about exactly what rule number three was, forums, people on theater forums pooping on gear because they can't afford it, or, you know, it's just too expensive for what they want to do. And so,
which is why I said back in that cast that, you know, use those as a tool to just get other opinions, but not base your sole decision off of.
No, I agree with that. And so I did watch the video, and I lined up with a lot of what was being said in the video. I know you watched the video as well, and, you know, you were...
There's a few things that he said that I kind of agree with, and some things that, because of what... You know, some newscast have told you to do and all of that.
It's,
you know, people are only doing what they're told to do.
Yeah, no, there's several different points to that. You know, one of the points would be there are a lot of rogue vendors that are, as I stated when I had messaged back and forth with them, that are feeding said proverbial monster that's gonna in that particular industry. So just because they're undercutting and price undercutting, and to where other vendors that are playing by the rules, you know, can't make a living at it because these people are selling it for 15 points above cost, and there's a lot of that stuff going on. And when you're trying to stick with the rules, you know, but I kind of applaud it. I know he was kicked off of several forums for saying this. don't, after watching the video, I think that was a little bit of an extreme thing. I don't think he said anything or deserved anything to be kicked off the forum, because really all he was saying is, you know, hi-fi shops deserve to make a living. You know, the experts deserve to be experts and be paid for their research and development and time and all those good things. And I know, you know, we see this a lot with Kaleidoscape in particular, where, you know, it gets crapped on a lot because it belongs in that reference category, you know, reference connoisseur True. Territory. Yeah. And it's expensive. And then if people can't afford it, what do? If I can't beat them, then I crap on them. You know, it's not, if you can't beat them, join them. It's like, no, if you can't beat them, take a crap on the product and downplay the product because you want to pat yourself on the back. And I think that's what Michael is getting to in a lot of ways, that he had reviewed a couple really expensive audio streamers, and then it was immediately crapped on because of the price point of these streamers, and the product was devalued, and it kind of set a nerve with him. And he said some aren't saying it, but we're saying it. We're right here saying it. We agree with you on most of those points. And there is a problem. There is an imperative issue with hi-fi shops doing this particular type of behavior just to survive, but they're kind of adding gasoline to the fire when it comes to this subject, you know? So I applaud that. Yeah. So check it out. Hi-Fi Theft is the name of the video. It's about a 12-minute watch. He does have some good points, and, you know, Tony and I are all about supporting local and supporting other local businesses and things like that. And I think that's kind of the thread he was sewing at that time, but it just, I think it struck a nerve with some of the admins on some of the places that he was on. So, but kudos to you, because we're thinking it. If you listen to that, if you listen to that podcast, we actually just covered this in our last show on rule number three, which is, should you be basing decisions off of forum banter? You know, people that you're just, you know, they want to, you know, shoot darts at stuff with that they don't know anything about. So, but anyway, housekeeping, nothing's changed on the paint and sip, instead of sip and paint is what Tony calls it. I'm a child. I'm
sipping
sorry.
Paint.
I'm sipping paint. God dang it. All right. So, nothing has changed on that front. Still no news on the wine and vinyl situation.
I can just say that paint and sip is not going to happen on the 13th.
Not going to happen on the
13th. Is not going to happen on the 13th.
There will be no paint and sip, nor sipping paint on April 13th.
I didn't say there wouldn't be any sipping of paint. I just said there wouldn't be paint and sip.
No, stick the paint thinner. It smells better.
Yes, but it's much, much rougher on the throat.
True. So, sipping...
Don't take that in the wrong direction.
Sipping paint is no bueno. Not going to happen that weekend, so we'll kind of keep you posted. Comic Palooza is happening on the 24th, 25th, and 26th. So, Memorial Day weekend, T-Bone will be there signing paper. He's already got canvases out, so he's going to be working on some new artwork.
I'm working on a piece that is 32x32, and if I don't have it finished by then, which I should, because that's almost 2 months away, if not, I'll be working on it there. But even if I finish this one, I'll still be working on new pieces while I'm at that event, which will be available for silent auction. You can, you know, I'll have a piece of paper sitting there, and you know, as you see me working on a piece, if you want it, you can write your bid for it. And I know at the end, I'll have everybody's information, and whoever wins the bid for it will get that piece.
So, T-Mone, tell me a little bit about Comic Palooza. What is it?
Man, it is like a lot of really cool stuff. So, if you know anything about Comic-Con in San Diego at this point, a lot of people in this industry might have heard about that.
Yeah.
But
that's like the granddaddy of...
So, basically, like, this is the Midwest version of that.
Right.
This show is just as big as that show and just as important. Cool thing about it is you got cosplayers, you know, of all shapes and sizes. At that show, you're also gonna have artists of all different styles, even AI artists, which I don't particularly like, but hey, you know, that's just me. Then you're also going to have cosplay groups that have their booth set up. So if you're into the whole cosplay thing or you want to get into cosplaying, those groups will be there. Like the Houston Cosplay Group will be there. I haven't got a confirmation yet, but like Leanna Vamp is usually there. And she's one of the influencers on some of the hottest female costumes out every year. She does it because she actually makes her stuff, and then costume companies actually make their designs off of her original stuff. So that's really cool. And if you get the chance to meet her, she's actually super cool. So if she happens to be, you know, listening to this, hey, you know, I hope I see her out there because she's awesome. Then also, you're going to have local comic book companies. A group that I'm really good friends with, CCP Comics will be there. Two C's and a P, not like the Russia
thing. So
they're usually there. They're great guys. Stratum Comics, a group that I used to work with, they'll be there. Vo Nguyen is usually there. He's a really cool guy. Also, he's done stuff for DC and Marvel Comics. And then you're going to have great forums that if you're trying to break into the business, or if you just want to hear like some cool stuff that is about how some of these different artists and all got into the business, those forums are going to be there. And then, I don't know if they have it, I haven't confirmed it yet, but I will have this confirmed soon. If you're into pinball or like classic games, there's usually an area where those are set up for you to play, and not just play, but they're to play for free.
Yeah, I think Classic Arcades of Houston is what does that or something. Yeah. There's a Joysticks, that's what it is. Houston, I think.
And that's usually even open like really late to where you can play. But
doesn't it turn to a party at night too?
On Saturday, they usually have where artists and all artists that want to participate from the show can participate in it. It's called a drink and draw, and I just got to confirm who they're doing the charity for this year. But in that drink and draw, the artists do pieces of artwork where they draw really whatever art they want to draw, and people just like. I'm going to be doing at my booth with artwork that I'm going to be doing the whole weekend.
I too will be at that booth doing artwork and doing signatures.
Okay, that is true. But what I what I would say is at this event, this charity event, where the artists will be doing their artwork, and you can. It's a silent auction. You know, as an artist or working on the art, you can sit there and write a bid down and, you know, just keep checking back if somebody beats your bid and you want to go higher than that. You know, I've had people, like, go back and forth as I've been drawings through that event, you know, through the whole time I was drawing it, you know, until, like, one of them finally, like, wins because I finished the drawing. And once I'm done, the drawing is, you know.
And that's for charity, right?
Yeah, that's for charity. And what it's been for in the past has been the Ronald McDonald House. That's why I got to confirm who it's going to be for this year. But I have a pretty good suspicion that that's who it's going to be for again, is okay. The Ronald McDonald House. And, you know, I do that event every year. I make nothing off of that event except for the fact that the money that they raise from me doing that artwork goes toward families that need help and can't afford it.
And who is the, is that going on during the day part of the show?
No, that, okay,
so
that goes
extracurricular.
That, that is the, one of the quote unquote after parties, usually on Saturday evening. Okay. You know, Saturday evening after.
So last night of the show.
So, No. Yeah, no, because there's, well, the last night,
well,
yeah.
Well, you do
because,
teardown on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday is usually till about, I think it's till 5 o'clock, and then. The where people are like,
you want artwork here, so you don't have to tear to carry it to the car.
Well, I don't want people to think that we sell stuff cheaper, you know, because it's Sunday. Because, you know, I'll be honest, I had to carry it in to sell it at the beginning of the thing. So if I got to carry it back home, you know, then so be it. You know, the artwork is still the same value,
right?
But at the same time, I mean, you know, we, throughout the whole event, just talk to us. We're artists. We, you know, we're trying to make money off of our art. But, you know, sometimes we can negotiate a little bit. But, you know, just be kind when you're asking for stuff like that.
Gotcha. Also be kind when asking for my artwork.
Depends on your definition of kind.
All right, so we're going to jump right into the home theater category. Rule number one, make it an experience. Rule number two, listening is subjective, meaning listen to a lot of stuff before making a decision. Rule number three, use forums as a barometer, but not necessarily as the Bible or the gospel truth in trying to find said system. And then rule number four was use the right tool for the job. So we're going to just jump right into that because that's kind of our Batman origin story. And I feel like we've kind of talked about the origin of that quite a bit. So we're going to run into just a couple different topics real quick and cross into it. One of those topics has been amplifier or preamp versus AV receiver. You know, this is a popular question we get quite a bit, and it kind of leads into another question, or not really another question, but another point to be made that kind of puts a point in Tony's dartboard of the physical media category, because AV receivers typically get disclosed as underpowered, which in a lot of cases they are underpowered, and you know, and should you as an end user be tiptoeing into the reference connoisseur product? So I have a story behind this, you know. So the I know shocker, whew, you know, careful. I have a story, Tony. My brother Jason told me this story when I was probably a teenager, and where he got to experience a Ferrari F40. For those of you that don't know what a Ferrari F40 is,
it's a car.
It's a car, but it was a limited production car that was, even back in the day, look the value up of one right now. Even back in the day, it was probably $250,000. And this was probably in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s when he got to sit in one. And I think I'd have to ask him and double check. I think he actually drove one.
Ferrari, what was the model again?
F40. Yeah, it was a race car. And so Jason, this thing had been on posters on his walls and our walls, you know, growing up, and it was just the pinnacle.
$1.5 million.
Yeah, so it's worth $1.5 million.
It's a pretty cheap car.
It's gone up just a wee bit. Yeah, no. So, but what was interesting about this car is when he sat in it, you know, he noticed when he was going to shut the door, it was actually a piece of elastic that was being used to open and close the door. And Jason was like, "Hey, is the door handle broken?" He's like, "No, that's just the door handle." And it was like a nylon strap, you know, that opened and closed the door. And then he also noticed that it had roll-up windows, not power windows, and things like that. So I'm getting to the point. So
those would have been things that would have weighed down the car.
Exactly. So that car was purpose built. But what was interesting is if you looked at it's not what you thought of when you saw $250,000 vehicle that was hand built in Italy. So I'm going to apply that to the AV receiver category. I know that's the weirdest analogy I'll probably ever make, but let me get to that point. So there are several vendors out there that belong in what I call the reference connoisseur category, and then there is the above average cinema category. So the reference connoisseur category would be like NAD, RCAM, Anthem. Let's see, there's another one that I'm missing out here. Storm Audio would be at the high end of the reference connoisseur category, and then there's Acurus that kind of floats in and out of the reference connoisseur category. And there's a JBL Synthesis. That was the other one that floats in the reference connoisseur category. And the problem with, I don't even want to call it a problem because I don't want to speak about these vendors in a negative light. But what I will say is that it's typically not for your general consumer, meaning if you're an Anthem Onkyo, if you're an Onkyo Pioneer, Integra, Marantz, Denon, Yamaha type of guy, then be very careful before jumping into said category, before relying on your expert opinion, because that's really the thing. When you're jumping into expert opinion, it's one of those things where if you're not willing to read the Bible that is said manual for this particular type of component, it's probably one of those that you don't want to jump into without doing some massive research. I've got a good friend of mine that actually works for Crutchfield, and he said this is a hard category that they sell, because typically if the general person is not ready for that type of experience, meaning elastic door handles or nylon door handles, door straps, and roll-up windows, it's not something that they particularly associate with something that costs as much as an Anthem or an RCAM or an NAD preamp processor or even an NAD AV receiver and things like that. So just make sure that you're jumping into your and doing your homework, because if you're not one of those guys that wants to bust out a laptop every time that they want that you want to do a small change to your EQ or your frequency curve or whatnot, or you really don't even know what you're looking at, this is not the type of product where you want to run room correction and walk away from it. It's just not. So it's what I call the RC category. So meaning, like my brother and the Ferrari F40 experience, it was one of those where it was like, holy crap, this is, I can't believe I'm looking at my dream car and I have nylon straps for door handles instead of door handles, you know. And it's, to Tony's point, it's so that thing could perform as a lean machine race car, and it was every little bit was taken into consideration before they put it out and for the general public.
Had air conditioning was even.
I don't even know if it had air conditioning. I'd have to look
it
up.
So if
it
did, it would be, you know, a shock to even have that, because that's would be weight reduction.
Well, I know the Subaru STI. There was when the Subaru STI finally came over to the United States, it did not have AC and it did not have radio. In fact, most of the time, that's why it was brought back to the dealership, because the wife would get mad because the husband would spend, you know, $50,000 to $50,000+ for a Subaru STI, and it didn't have air conditioning. So, and that's what I'm saying. So if you're a bells and whistles type of guy, then I would say the Denon, Marantz, Onkyo, Sony is probably your jam. No, that is not a slight or a swipe at those companies. But if you are used to the AV receiver experience where it has an online GUI interface that you can jump into and make changes on the fly, I would say that's your category. If now, the thing about what that car would do is that if you put the right driver in the car, or if the driver learned how to use the car and drive the vehicle, then it would be the most fun you've ever had in a vehicle in your entire life in most cases. And that's the main difference between what I would call the reference category, reference connoisseur category, and then the general home theater category, which would be the stuff that you could walk into and get at Best Buy, even though Best Buy has a few of those reference category brands now. But it's, again, even talking to some of the guys from Best Buy, it's one of those things that if it's not handled with white gloves and taken care of, then it'll come back because somebody thinks something's wrong with it or it's just not what they thought it was. However, it's everything and then some of what they what you can make it get in performance. It just takes a little work to get there. So the big misconception about most home theater receivers is that, you know, you've got five channel systems and 7 channels and 9 channels and 11 channels and 13 channels and 15 channels and 24 channels, and it just keeps going up from there. But the problem with a lot of this category is that it's not made for the modern day AV receiver amplifier, meaning if you look at these reference connoisseur products, that those particular channels driven are used as an enticing thing to come buy said black box with volume knob on it instead of educating the end user of what they're actually getting. So that's why when you look at things like Anthem or Arcam or NAD, and even in some cases JBL Synthesis, when you look at their AV receiver side of it, they're only 7 channels amplified, but they can be expandable with separate amplifiers. That's not a trick. The reason why is because to build a box with that type of expectation, you have to put a lot of work into it to be able to power that many speakers, you know, and go ahead.
I was going to say, and that much power with using the proper components would make it extremely heavy. I know. And,
And expensive.
Right.
Too.
And also with those, yes, it has the built-in power into the unit itself, but once you start looking into different speakers, the power rating of that particular unit may not be enough to properly power the speakers that you end up either choosing to go with or upgrading into later.
Well, and that's a good point. So, I mean, I know Anthem has their, I want to say it's the 540, the 740, and then the 1140 is their models. And, the 540 is 5 channels driven, 740 is 7 channels amplified, and then the 1140 is 11 channels amplified. But what I appreciate about Anthem and NAD and Arcam and some of these other brands, because it's an all channels driven specification. They're not using some kind of hokey pokey fuzzy math that it's one speaker connected and 205 watts per channel. You know, it's you get what you pay for. I know that in a lot of instances, we were super excited about the new Marantz line, the Cinema series, and just when you start hooking 9 channels to it and 12 channels to it and 13, it just they really start falling flat on their face and underperform what your expectation may be. So there is a time and a place for reference connoisseur product, but just make sure that you as an end user are ready to jump into that depth of that swimming pool, because it's not your standard Onkyo or Denon or Marantz, something that you can probably navigate on your own to get the most out of that product. There are particular avenues where where something like an Anthem or an Arcam or a JBL or an NAD shines because of the customization and EQing that you can do if you know what you're doing. But this is not a set it and forget it type of product where you would just want to run ARC or Dirac and say, okay, I'm done, and then click your heels and be done and expect to get the best end result. In fact, that's one of the reasons why these things get returned, is because people don't understand how they work and how they function. So the one thing I will applaud the cinema category for is when you're looking at said cinema category, All of them have pre-outs. Even to the cheapest model, they all have pre-outs to where you can use outboard amplification, which in a lot of cases you'll need. And this is not bombarding you with 7.1.2 or 5.1.4 or 7.4.4. I'm not going to go into that crap. It's either, Tony, it's either 5, 7, 9, or 11. You just pick the combination and how many subwoofers you want to use. And that's what we tell every client that walks in here that tries to do the 5.1. What, you know, I just stop them in mid-sentence. Are we doing 7, 9, 11, or 13? How many are we doing here? What's our room size? You know,
right, just like how many speakers are you doing? Because then from there we can figure out right where the numbers fall into
place.
Well,
just keep it simple. It's either 7-channel atmospheric or 9-channel atmospheric. There's several different ways you can cross that threshold, but you don't have to get overly technical and sound like an instruction manual while you're talking about it. But what I would say is, you know, I talked to a gentleman just yesterday who he was having an issue with his Marantz. And he said, Justin, I researched Anthem and I researched Arcam and I researched JBL. And, you know, what do you recommend for me? And I said, well, what do you like? Well, he likes to go into the menus and change things and play with the EQ curves and things like that. And I said, okay, do you like doing that with a laptop? He said, well, no, why would I do it with the laptop when I have an on-screen display? I said, well, because that makes our choices simple, you know. So, and that's the thing, and it's not that I did not want to sell him one of those other brands, not that I didn't want to sell him an Anthem or a Arcam or a NAD or even a JBL Synthesis. However, it's what he was accustomed to, meaning if you're used to driving a BMW and operating a BMW, then don't buy a Mercedes, you know, or don't buy a Mercedes AMG. That's something that's just drastically different than what you're accustomed to. So now, with the topic about being powered or underpowered, and we're going to do shootouts here. We're going to get into, you know, a AV Denon or Marantz AV10 that's $7,000 versus a, you know, AVM90. You know, we're gonna do those types of shootouts here and get into the nitty gritty, what I call nuts and bolts of this conversation. Probably not in this conversation, but we'll touch on it for a few minutes. But this particular gentleman was, you know, he was leery of a certain brand because of a thing that happened that blew up some speakers in his home, and he didn't know whether to blame the amplifier or to blame the preamp. And, you know, after several days of troubleshooting a phone call and kind of going into it with him and talking to him about it, you know, we finally narrowed it down. Well, maybe it's a fluke, but that still didn't set well with him, because he didn't want to be afraid to turn on his system. And then the AV receiver or the AV preamp was the last thing that hadn't been replaced, because he got a new amplifier from Macintosh, and because his Macintosh had several issues and had to be rebuilt. So it was several different things. So going into that, we talked for several days straight about what he should do. And the problem is how he liked to use his product. Unfortunately, T, there's only a few different products that meet that qualification now. Yamaha doesn't make a preamp anymore. Integra Onkyo doesn't make a preamp anymore. You know, so that means he had to go back to Marantz and jump into the Marantz preamp. And that was his big hold up, because the Marantz was $7,000, you know, and this is only a 7-channel system. He didn't need the extra 15 channels, you know, right. He didn't need 15 channels. He needed half of them. So that was the initial issue. But, you know, and that's what actually got brought. I was like, man, this is a cool topic, because there are so many things that the reference connoisseur brands can do if you know what you're doing, or if you're willing to learn how to use it, you know, because hell, there's still buttons in my car that I don't know how to use. You know, my dog puts it in sport mode every morning, and I'm wondering why it's trying to buck me into the back seat when I drop him off. So that's the thing is if you know how to use those tools, then yes, an Anthem and an Arcam and an NAD will night and day sound different than your average brand where they kind of leave off. You know, I do think the 11 channels amplified and the 9 channels amplified type of setups are leaving something on the table with amplification. I think they're trying to power way too many speakers and they're not able to do that in an efficient way to get the volume that most people are trying to achieve when I call spirited listening. You know, and you've seen right. that.
And, you know, I come from like a live PA kind of background, and you know, the more power you push to your speakers, the better they're going to sound and the more efficiently they're going to run. So just because you can get away with powering your speakers at a lower power rating doesn't mean they're going to sound as good as they could.
No, I agree. I think everybody that's looking in the 7, 9, and 11 category, mostly 9 and 11 category, needs to really take a hard look at amplification and using pre-outs. You know, get the right type of power to your left, center, right. Why? Because it's the hardest working speakers in the group. So there's a lot of misconception with, well, it says 11 channels amplified. Well, yeah, it does, but there's a reason why the big guys, when you jump in, they're not trying to rip you off to get more money for a subpar product. No, they just want to make sure they're meeting the expectations of their audience that's buying that type of product. And they know that in most cases, they can't amplify 9 channels or 11 channels and not cross that affordable threshold. You know, that's the only product line that Anthem has in that category is the MRX 1140. And that's the only one that's 11 channels amplified. Everything else is, I think, with exception of the 540, I don't think you can expand the 540 past the 11 channels or the 9. I know the 740 you can expand to 11 channels, but it's only 7 channel amplified. So that's what I'm saying is if you're jumping into that bar, you know, if you go into the forums, everybody's, oh, Anthem is this, or Arcam is this, or JBL is this, or this, you know, blah, 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 blah. The problem is you see a lot of these items go up for sale open box because the person doesn't know how to drive the car. They don't know how to use it. They don't understand what ARC is in comparison to Dirac. You know, that's the big key word is, you know, they want to base all of these decisions on room correction. That's like basing your car choice off of cruise control. You know, room correction you use one time, And then you go back in and tweak it anyway because it's always too conservative. So, you know, and it's always been, thus far, Dirac is the hot term that everybody, oh, this one's got Dirac. Oh, this one's got Dirac. Well, you know, Dirac is very similar to ARC. ARC is actually using your room where Dirac is using a fake anechoic chamber measurement that if it was these speakers or these tones were in an anechoic chamber that this is how we would EQ them, whereas ARC is actually using your room to EQ it. You know, and then the cinema category would be Lindorf or Trinov. You know, Lindorf is using Room Perfect. Trinov is using Theater Optimizer. So I'm going on the record. I am not a fan of Room Perfect. I never have been a fan of Room Perfect on the Lindorf or the top Macintosh, which I think now is the MX-180. I'm not a fan of that particular type of product. I think it lets you, it doesn't let you get into the nitty gritty enough. And if it fails halfway into it in this 2-hour process, then you got to start all over. It makes you want to bang your head against the wall listening to this ominous bong that goes around the room.
Right.
That was we did a theater with a Lindorf and I think he's changed 3 processors since then. I think he went to a Trinov and I think he went eventually he landed on an AVM-90, which is also mind-boggling too. So you know, Trinov is an amazing product. Trinov, you know, it's a $19,000 product category, but you can crap on it all you want, but it's the only flipping product in the stratosphere that you can go into a Regal or an AMC or a Cinemark and see that product. You can go up in the equipment room and there's Trenovs in the rack, you know, and it's the best there is at that. Now, I do have concerns for people that are using Trenov in two-channel applications because it's just not what they do. You know, again, rule number four, use the right tool for the job. So, but that would be in the more of the cinema category. I would say anything over about 10 grand or 15 grand, you're starting to get into the really heavyweight contenders, which would mean Storm Audio, which is kind of a Trenov clone, I guess. They're using their own, they're using Dirac on their system. Acurus uses their own EQ measurement. Acurus is kind of the newest kid on the block. They came from a company called, it'll come to me in a minute. Doesn't matter. It starts with an A, but Argon. They came from Argon Amplification. Really good OG amplifier company, so Acurus came from a good family. But again, they're all trying to compete with Trenov. And then McIntosh. McIntosh is basically Marantz and then Lindorf. You know, they don't really have their own type of thing, but it's, you know, the lower end of it is more of the Marantz category, and then the higher end of it is the Lindorf category. You know, if you go look at JBL Synthesis, JBL Synthesis is basically Arcam. It's the same family parent company. However, Synthesis is, if you go into the highest realm of Synthesis, it's Trenov, you know, so which, and that puts you in the, into the Trenov category. Trenov is not an end user product. You know, I would never sell an end user. I would never sell a Trenov to an end user online. I just wouldn't do it. There's just too much that goes into that product where they do. Yeah,
there's a lot of programming that goes along with something like that that, you know, unless you really know what you're doing, you can get overwhelmed very quickly.
Well, yeah, no, if somebody like Tony could jump into even an Anthem, which is on the higher end of the reference category, you know, they tap out about $8,000, you know, so $7,500, somewhere in there. But an engineer like him could go look at that graph curve and say, okay, congratulations, you just chopped everything off at 80, let me go fix it, you know. And if you are running Arc room correction and you are not going back and fixing that curve, then you've screwed up your room. It's not going to sound good, which again, that if you don't understand that and you haven't read the Bible said, you know, said manual, then you're going to mess it up. So that's what I'm saying. In this particular application, the client went with a DV10 because it was something that he was familiar with. And the interface is something he was familiar with, and he didn't want to have to call me every time he wanted to make a change, you know? And so it's one of those things where he wanted to be more pliable. That does not mean that you can't do that with the other brands. It just means that it's something that you really need to research it and figure out if it's something that's in your Rolodex that you want to do. You know, and because again, it's one of those things that can be a lackluster experience if you're not careful. So, but that's, again, you guys wanted to get in the nuts and bolts of it. You cannot get any more nuts and bolts than this particular situation. You know, then we still have the AV receiver versus preamp. I typically point people in the AV receiver direction to use pre-outs in a lot of cases, because typically budget doesn't allow buying amplifiers and a preamplifier because AVR is all in one. However, it's still cheaper to buy an AV receiver and an outboard amplifier than it is to buy an amp and a preamp. So there's lots of different formulas for that. But again, there are lots of good people out there that make decent AV performing AVRs. The Sony ES line, their 5000 ES, their 3000 ES and 5000 ES is 100% falls into that stratosphere. And it's a phenomenal product, and it has pre-outs, so you can decide if you want to go one way or another. The Integra DRX, I think it's 8.4 now, has been one of the hottest selling receivers right now because it has balanced pre-outs, so meaning it kind of skates into that pre-amplification. And then there's the Marantz Cinema Series. The Marantz Cinema Series is a hot seller. Marantz kind of did an overhaul with the shape, fit, and finish because the look has been around for a long time. However, I have found on that particular product that I am leaning on amplification in regard to that in a lot of instances, because when you start powering over 7 channels, you start running out of power really quick with a lot of the speakers brands that we're using, meaning Focal or Dyne or Bowers or whichever one we're doing, or Martin Logan even. So it just depends on where you're skating. Now, my devil's advocate question is, are we underpowered or are you undersourced? You know, because a lot of these audiences have moved into streaming, and you and I both know that streaming is incredibly quiet in comparison to Blu-ray or even your cable box or your something like a Kaleidoscape or a movie server. So I will say that, you know, that's, you know, it's a great question. You know, are you underpowered or are you undersourced? You know, so you may want to look at what you're plugging into that system. You know, if you're building $80,000 theater room or $100,000 theater room or even a $10,000 theater room, and you're spending all this research and development on room correction, but yet you're hooking it up to a Roku or an Amazon or an Apple TV, you may want to look at your source, you know, because you may find that you have plenty of power, but you just don't have the output from the source that you're plugging into it. So,
right, because, you know, I mean, once again, going back to like Kaleidoscape has a higher output, so you don't have to push your volume as much for that as you do with an Apple TV or a Fire TV or a Roku or something like that.
Well, and a lot of answers to that question is, well, on some of these you have independent gain adjustments, and it's like, well, what, Tony, what happens when you adjust your gain on a microphone or a source?
The more you turn up the gain, the more noise you introduce into your signal path.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, if you didn't think you heard a hiss now, then guess what? Add input gain to it, and you're probably going to hear that hiss again. So, again, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts and nooks and crannies of this particular subject, but this is where we need your input to figure out what direction you want us to go in, because we're just going to keep progressing in the directions that we're going at the moment. So we're not going to poop on brands. We're not about that. We're ambassadors for every brand that we've talked about, with exception of Macintosh. And so we have to be very careful how we present that brand. But I'll tell you, there, you know, when even somebody like Anthem will tell you that there's a certain product where there's a certain category where they shine, and then there's a certain category where they start falling off, you know, and that's, I respect that, you know, and, you know, they get compared to Trenov a lot, you know, just because it's, you know, it's the cheap man's Trenov or whatever. You know, there's nothing cheap about Trenov, and there's nothing cheap about an AVM 90. So AVM 90 is about $7,500. It's not cheap.
Right.
But
still a good chunk of change out of my pocket.
Well, right. Still a good chunk of change. And it's one of those things where, but however, he will tell you in comparison to such animal that there's a certain point where it's like, okay, you know, we're made for a certain general type of audience. So, and then, you know, take budget out the window, what do you prefer in your particular type of AV product?
I mean, if money were no object, I like the ability to really dive deep into it, like with a Trenov. But, you know, budget is a factor, and that's where.
Say you were designing it for, so, and that's the hard question, because that's subjective to the person you're selling it to. You know, it's just, if right. You look at the gentleman I was talking to yesterday, you know, he was really on the fence of whether he was going to go DV10 versus the Anthem. And as much as I would have loved to have sold him an Anthem, it just wasn't the right tool for the job based on what his needs were and what he was willing to cross, you know, and the threshold. Because I was like, no, man, we can do presets all the time. You know, I can do 15, you know, 20 presets on this thing, one for music, one for movies, one for this, one for that. And we can just keep going and going and going and going. And but he was like, well, what if I want to change one little thing? And that's where the balloon deflated. You know, it's like, well, EQ curve wise, you're going to have to log in via IP address and change all that. So it's just not something that he wanted to do at that point in time, even as hesitant as he was to bring in another Marantz into the fold because of what this one could or couldn't be doing. We're not quite for sure that it's the preamp that's doing it. He just didn't. It was the last variable that he hadn't checked. So, and he enjoyed that experience, and that was my thing. It's like, if you enjoy a BMW, then stop looking at Mercedes. You know, stop. And he's a forum guy. He went to the forums and he was reading about the Marantz, or he was reading about the Anthem, and everybody was, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love Anthem. I think they're a great company. I think they're a good deal of people. His main concern with that particular product was, well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say it's quirky and they've had issues and hiccups. And I said, well, most of the people that are having problem with that particular type of category, it's because they don't read the instructions. It's because they jump right into it, try to do a firmware. The firmware freaks them out because it takes longer than usual to do it. And there's a couple button combinations you got to do. By the way, it's all in the manual. And it freaks them out, and they think something's wrong with the unit. You know, that's coming straight from Crutchfield. You know, that's coming straight from somebody that sells these things online all the time. Half the time when they get them back, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just they freaked out during the firmware update. That's the glitchiness to it. You know, there's a part where people are calling it glitchy. I don't call it glitchiness. I call it the Ferrari F40 with the nylon.
It's more like impatience.
Well, that too, but I call it the Ferrari F40 with the nylon door strap. You know, it's just, it's when you open an Anthem box, it's just a box. There's no champagne that flows from the heavens. There's no angel song that happens. There's no sword in the stone thing that's going on. It's just a flipping product. But the thing is it's not gooey. It's not friendly. It's not something that's made for someone that's not going to dig down into the nuts and bolts of that particular unit to enjoy it. You know, you don't even know half of the capability of that thing unless you just jump into it and start playing with it. You know, we have another client, Bowie, you know, 1140. He's got an MRX 1140. Jumped into the nitty gritty of it, set his rels the high pass, and just absolutely freaking loves it. He invited us over because we were programming it for Savant. These were what, 15-year-old Bowers and Wilkins speakers, or 20-year-old Bowers and Wilkins speakers? When they were made in the UK. And this thing was awesome. He had three REL 1205s in the front. He had one Predator 1510 in the back for LFE, but he had all three of the REL 1205s in the front that were set to high pass, and it was flipping amazing. And he couldn't have done that with the Marantz. You know, that's what I'm saying. It was somebody that was willing to jump into the nuts and bolts of what he was trying to do and play with it. And the guy's brilliant anyway. He's freaking rocket scientist practically. So, but again, that's his hobby. That's what he wanted to do. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with not going that direction either. So that's what I'm saying is when you get into the rule number three, when you start getting into these forums and people start calling out names, you really need to do your research or pick up the phone and call an expert. Talk to somebody that's dealt with all of these things. Stop treating the vendors and the people that design and sell them like the enemy or like they're trying to sell something to you. We're not. We don't care what you buy. That's the thing, is we have no skin in the game because we sell all of it. You know, so it's just we have no opinion. Our opinion only goes one way. We base our opinion based on data that you're providing us. If you like this experience, then I'm not going to tell you to go this way. You know, and if you like this experience, then I would tell you to go that way. So, you know, but where people get confused is half of these forums have 100,000 members or 1 million different members, and you can always find 10 of them that are going to line up with how you believe or may not believe and confuse you even more.
Right. I mean, that's where, once again, use it as a tool, not an end-all be-all for a decision.
Well, what I would say is start treating your experts like experts. And you know, again, we've paid our dues. You know, we've screwed it. The reason why we're experts, you know what an expert is? It's somebody that's screwed up enough times to know, well, I'm not going to do that again, and they become good at what they do. That's what an expert is. You know, even I know people that come out of straight out of college that still don't put oil in cars when they're an auto mechanic. You know, just it's just things happen, and you learn off of your mistakes. And that's what I'm saying is, but when I go into the forum world, there was a term for this that I called it back in my racing days, and I called it bench racing. You know, it never failed. You know, you would go out to the racetrack and you would have your, you know, everybody had their cars and, you know, they were dialed in and everybody was making quarter mile passes and all that. This is way before Fast and the Frustrated or Slow and the Frustrated came out. But there was always one guy in this car club that was the loudest mouth. And, well, you know, you should have done this or you should have done that or you should have, you know, oh, you should have inflated your tires a little bit more. And this is the intake you should be using. And this is the cam you should be using. And these are the heads you should be. And that's the supercharger. No. On my car, you know, I'm going to do these heads and this supercharger. And it never failed. And every time you ask this guy what he drove, I'll tell you, he didn't have a car yet. But he was the loudest voice. That's exactly how I view home theater forums in most cases. It's like the loudest people, oh, you should do this and you should do clips. They're on sale for 80% off right now and things like that. And that's fine. You may very well should. You may very well should do that. But it doesn't make them an expert and it doesn't make them smarter than your expert. It just means that they have an opinion just like you have an opinion. But if that, what I would tell people is while you're making these decisions, talk to the experts and stay off the forums, because half of these people are basing their opinion on something that, oh, this product, I'm not going to keep picking on Anthem. I feel like I picked on Anthem, but I haven't, but I'm just going to keep saying, well, this product is a piece of crap. You know, I had one of these and it did X, Y, and Z. You know, I had a guy tell me a Trinov was a piece of crap because base optimizer kept coming on, base management kept coming on. And then the guy who calibrated the base management didn't save it in the settings. He was saving it on the quick menu. He wasn't saving it in the CMOS menu, the programming menu. And so that's why every time the end user turned the machine off and brought the machine back on, it turned base management back on. So it didn't make that. But he based that whole awesome piece of equipment on that experience because it wasn't calibrated correctly. It wasn't programmed
correctly. So he was basing it off of a setting that wasn't getting saved.
Yep, but this is the same type of guy that goes on the forums and says, that device is a piece of junk, blah, blah, blah. This thing is a piece of crap, you can't get base management right, or you can't get this right, or you can't get that right. And that's the thing, is you're basing your data on somebody, on a complete stranger. And I'm a stranger, and you're a stranger, but we're strangers standing behind the counter in a brick-and-mortar store that's surrounded by equipment. That's the difference.
Right.
That's the main difference. You know, and there are good people out there. There is good. There are the what I call the Lone Rangers out there that go above and beyond and do what they're going to do and jump into that pool and try to answer the questions. I had to get off of it. My blood pressure went through the roof You know, I would get so angry because this stupid so-and-so and this stupid so-and-so and this stupid so-and-so. I had to step down as a moderator of one of those forums because it was just, there was nobody policing inaccurate information. And then I found out, well, that's not what they wanted us to do anyway. So, and that's the thing. We were just supposed to make sure nobody hurt anybody else's feelings. So, but, you know, when there's 10,000 or 15,000 or 12,000 or whatever, however many things involved with that, then I don't care about feelings. I want to know accurate information. Right. You know, it's just, I don't care about your feelings. I want to know if this works or this works or this works. So again, it's still, but it boils down to rule number two. That's why we only have four rules, because I don't think Tony or I can count past five. But the we are down, but coming into that, those rules, it's all subjective. But when you're asking the right expert, we're going to design that system based on data that you're giving us, and we're going to base that experience with how you like to drive the car. You know, if you like Fords, then don't buy this. If you like this, then don't buy this. But stay off of the bench racing categories, because it's just going to confuse you even further. You know, and that's the way this guy was. He was completely confused. He was like, man, I just don't know what to do because I don't see a lot of reviews on this. And I said, well, but you do have a review on this. You've got a guy that's installed five of them already. I can tell you exactly what that thing does. And I've installed the other one. And I've installed the other ones. What do you want it to do? How do you want to use it? And that's what it boils down to. So we do need your input. We still need your input because, you know, some people like the nitty-gritty and EQ curves and all that stuff. And then some people just simply want to set it, forget it, and then be able to make a quick change that they're accustomed to. And if that's the case, then there are very few brands that still fit that category before you got to jump into the reference connoisseur category. Right. So you said you wanted to jump into the nuts and bolts and get dirty. You can't get dirty any nuttier or boltier than this conversation, because yeah, we did mention brands. We are mentioning brands. We're friends with all of these brands, by the way. So we're always going to address our brands in the best light, but there's still contrast between those brands. You know, there's a contrast between Marantz versus Anthem, or Anthem versus Arcam, or Arcam versus NAD, or JBL Synthesis versus, there's not another one that I can think of at the moment, but there's always a contrast with it. So this would be episode two in our home theater category. This is actually an official home theater episode. Have no freaking clue what we're going to cover on Friday, because there's so much stuff going on and what's going on. I'm sure Tony and I will come up with something, but you know, we don't want to go strictly home theater. Again, home theater has been our lowest scoring episode thus far, so I think that it may just bottleneck and box that situation in a realm that it may or may not belong. You know, just, we don't want to isolate our audience too much, you know. So there, and also there's a good chance that I'm going to get on my soapbox, as I did today. In fact, I'm probably just going to call this episode Soapbox, as I did today. And just again, you know, that I'm telling you, that YouTube video got me fired up. It got me fired up, but in a different way, not the same way, but in a different way, about supporting local and whatnot. And there's a lot of, experts are hated at the moment, and we're viewed as the enemy at the moment. And we have no idea why. We don't know what we've done. We don't know, you know, and that's kind of the point, the major point that I agreed with Michael's statement is, you know, we're treated as if we're just trying to sell. And again, if I can flip that script, or Tony can flip that script, again, we don't care what you buy as long as it's the right thing for you. That's what we're after.
Right, because at the end, I always say this all the time, I don't have to be happy with what's in your home. You do.
Exactly. We don't, you don't have, you know, I have no skin in the game. You have no skin in the game, and we have it all. That's the thing, is we can go any direction you want to go on it, however you want to go on it, why ever, you know, and that's what I'm saying. So I think that's a cast for today. I think you guys have heard enough, and I'm running out of air. So you got any rebuttals on that, Tony?
About you running out of air. I seriously doubt that.
No, I was going to say, do you have any rebuttals or anything that I left out? Notice he's staying at arm's length at the moment.
No. You kept talking so much that you covered everything without me being able to really even interject.
Did you need to interject? Was there something that I missed on? Go
for
it.
At this point, no.
No, I think you covered it because you went around the circle. So, I think that's a cast, ladies and gentlemen, on our home theater series. We're going to do something different on Friday. We're probably going to do home. Again, I think we're going to keep home theater once a week, right? Because it's just something.
Yeah, because it's a lot to process through the rest of the week after taking in all that information. That if we hit you with more than one of those big topics a week, I think it would just be too much.
Right. Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, again, we don't want to pigeonhole it into just a certain small group of our audience. Follow, not subscribe, on Apple Podcast. It's so stupid. So RSS, Spotify, Amazon Music calls it subscribe, and then Apple, for whatever reason, I was corrected by someone, they call it follow. And what following does is it helps us know how many people are listening and what people are listening to what. No, it does not cost you money. It does not spam you. It doesn't do anything like that. We're not selling information. We can't even see your information. We can just see that somebody anonymously has followed. So look forward to more shootouts, because that's going to be fun. We are going to do Marantz versus Anthem versus Arcam versus NAD versus JBL Synth versus whoever. We're going to jump into that category pretty quickly to tell you what you're getting with each. We're going to have vendor interviews, mainly with most likely Onkyo Integra. I know they've said they would come on board. Anthem is happy to come on board. He's got to run it through his whatever you call it, AR department, PR department, whatever. Public, I think PR is the name. PR department, and then. And then we're going to have some cool, you know, we got Trinov on tap. They're happy to come on. So a lot of people are happy to come on board and talk about how they compare to their competition, what is their competition, and, you know, all the things. So I think that's a cast. I'm Justin, and I'm exhausted.
And I'm Tony, and he never shuts up.
This is Technology Rocks, and that's a cast. Last one.